One thing is certain. Life beyond is by reservation. There are no standbys. You must be expected. A meaningful schedule surfaces in this text. First, he that heareth. Second, he that is athirst. Third, he that will. When I was a youth, it was commonplace to hear a bit of popular lyric which said, "You can't get to heaven in a rocking chair." Now, it was the singer's way of saying what this passage says: a person must make up his or her mind. I want you to look at your Bible. It does appear in every court in the land. It does place you on trial. It does require you to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But, mister, this entire book is an invitation. It says, come. It has one theme from page one to the close. The book presents a person. The person is Jesus of Nazareth. The invitation is to him. It is a welcome to every wanderer. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. There is a word out for the lonely, the loser, the moral slave, the violent, the fugitive, the sick. Come. Heaven has posted enough road signs. There's a flaming sword that guards Eden. No fifth columnist can spoil paradise. Thank God for secure boundaries. Nothing that defiles or maketh a lie can cross. Salvation is real. It's not make-believe. You'll part company as surely as Cain and Abel separated. You'll leave the vagabonds of this world. The despair will vanish from your soul. Oh, yes, there are choices. There was a choice for Noah. The public of his day avoided that family. They thought this invitation was folly. They listened to other voices. They sought to quench the longings of the soul in business and in play, and they bent themselves to one of the world's catastrophes. But Abraham listened. God told this man how he would satisfy him. And Abraham got up and left. He heard. He followed. Lot couldn't wait to get rich. He betrayed his instincts and the call of another world. He ruined his family. Elijah heard. The crowd mocked him. Jezebel was the fashion leader. She packed the court with the brash and the brazen. She set a price on the preacher's head. Elijah went to Mount Carmel for a showdown, and God endorsed the preacher with signs following. The dogs finished Jezebel, all of her except her painted fingernails and painted toenails. The preacher went up in a chariot of fire. The woman who loved nudity and permissiveness and her own high and mighty ways went down. She splashed her expensive body all over the pavement. They closed the casket at the funeral. There wasn't enough of her left for decency. Samson toyed with sin. He thought he could mix the call of the spirit with the call of the flesh. He who had stood tall and could destroy 1,000 Philistines with a piece of animal carcass grovels on the lap of a paid woman and gets clipped as badly as any man in history. But the call never left him. He heard it through long prison years. He lost his sight, but he never lost his hearing. The thirst for victory never slackened, and the will to win came surging back in the house of his enemies till it filled every vein and tingled every muscle. Daniel found the range in a long, strange land. God talked to the young statesman in the midst of a sophisticated government. Daniel had the message when counselors and agents, highly placed in Nebuchadnezzar's administration, groped for answers. Daniel could transcribe God's shorthand, read it aloud and clear to a suddenly sobered Belshazzar. 1,000 drunken social clowns had lost the will to save their city, let alone save their souls. David heard and sang it out for millions to repeat. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Country lad found the will to face Goliath. His thirst for God outlasted his thirst for women and for conquest. He heard God speak when his senses were inflamed and sin bid high for his soul. John the Baptist believed what he heard. It brought a confrontation with Herod. There was no margin for political compromise. The Baptist lost his head and went to heaven. Herod's body was eaten with worms, and he went to hell. Paul heard. He was Saul of Tarsus with a reputation for toughness. God spoke to the bounty hunter at high noon. He knew who was speaking. The response was immediate. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, mister, that one short sentence can mean the difference in your destiny. The apostle found a thirst that never quit. It drove him through Asia, drove him through Europe. No jail could cancel it. No riot could smother it. No ordinance could quell it. It became a magnificent obsession. For me to live is Jesus. Paul found a will stronger than Nero's. His determination to share Jesus shattered every plot to kill him. It was more than an echo. It was his friend. And Paul's friend loved the former Pharisee so much that Jesus gave Paul a preview of paradise. Paul came back to tell the Philippians and the Corinthians and the Romans that the invitation, come, is real. It's not strange talk. John, the man who gives us the text, remembers. The invitation had changed his life. Follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. The Nazarene had matched the thirst in this ambitious Galilean with glory. His will to follow had survived Patmos and the rudeness of hell. And now, here it is, the last page of the Bible, and the heart of our God is still saying, come. The eternal fact is, sir, somebody wants to help you. Come with your blight. Come with your remorse, your regrets, your faded dreams, your failures. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The invitation is official. If you sense that you are perishing, that all you had hoped to be is rotting, there's a remedy, the water of life. It changed the woman at the well. She was sick of marriage and vows she couldn't keep. She felt like an endangered species. The drudgery of her existence oppressed her, but she listened. Whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And her life changed when she said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. So lift your heart one time like that lady, and you will experience life. It took the terror out of the Gadarene. His nights were foul. He roamed the graveyards. Neighbors locked doors and secured their children. Fiends drove him relentlessly. His soul was stripped and unclean. Neither could any man tame him. But when he saw Jesus afar off, there was this invitation, this welcome, come. This gift of life for a human wreck, more hog than man. And the change was instant. Jesus told him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Look back, friend. Somewhere you have felt this tug on your soul, some thirst, your conscience, your memory, your decency. Your fleeting lifespan is saying to you, take the water of life freely. Now I must spell out a fact of life to you. Do not ignore the church. I know there are faults to find. There are criticisms. As long as human beings are involved, there must be a margin for error, but it's still God's agency on this planet. It has reached farther and longer than the armies of this world. It has known more committed men and women. It has challenged and penetrated barbarism. It has introduced mercy, rehabilitation for the broken, education for the ignorant. It has reached for your children. And the church says to you, come. Those beautiful lighted windows, those ringing bells say, come. And if you miss the final cutoff, it'll be because you neglected the invitation of the church. So what more can God do for you? Your mother's prayers have said, come. Every funeral service you've attended has said, come. Every accident you've witnessed has said, come. Every sickness you have known has said, come. And so now it is a matter of your will. Two words made me a married man. Yes, there were decorations, but they didn't make me a married man. There were scripture verses read by the preacher, but they didn't make me a married man. There was beautiful music, but it did not make me a married man. There were interested friends, but they did not make me a married man. I was asked before the Holy Trinity and before witnesses, "Wilt thou, Charles Morse Ward, have this woman, Dorothy May Himes, to be thy wedded wife?" And two words only were needed to respond to that question. They were, "I do." And those two words made me a married man. So heaven is waiting to hear your response. He that will, let him take of the water of life freely. The choice must be yours alone. The invitation is powerful. Calvary, the open tomb, the Holy Spirit beckon. And all your senses tell you that it is the right thing to do. A thirst within for God won't stop. But thirst and intelligence are not enough. The court of the ages waits for a firm yes or no. Now one thing is certain. You'll never know peace until you come. You can't stop the ache with liquor. You can't answer the quest with gambling. You can't silence the call by changing partners. You can't reverse Niagara Falls, and you can't reverse your soul. You can lose it. And what shall it gain a woman if she achieve the whole world and lose her soul? It's hell, lady, to be unable to come to terms with yourself. The traffic lights all the way to heaven have turned green. This is your moment. You're coming with more authority than the federal government. There's no greater authority than the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is directing us toward the long, long altar in these next 10 seconds. I weep for millions who have never used, never tested the privilege of prayer one time. The gaps in their lives, the lack and poverty of living experience add to waste, to eternal and irreparable loss. I would rather exist without utilities, electricity, automobile, plumbing, than to exist without prayer. Through it, my inner man breathes. I'm in touch with the unseen. Prayer isn't something you learn. Prayer is an avenue, and God furnishes guide and helper, the Holy Spirit. And if you're not praying in the Spirit, you're saying words. The power is off. You'll know. Does something move within you? Is there a quickening, a response? Playing church and offering religion are an anathema to God. I must reach toward Him in spirit and in truth. So please check yourselves at the long, long altar. We love thy name, the name of Jesus. We confess thee before men as our Savior Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. Break in upon modern living conditions. Thousands are experimenting in a new style paganism. They think they revel in becoming heathen. They glory in their educated darkness and in the heat of animals. Oh, light of this world, shine into this moral blackness. I pray for honest courts. I pray for the judge, the juror, the attorney, the plaintiff, the defendant. Strengthen justice among us. I pray for tax relief in this maze of bureaucracy. I pray that thou raise up a standard against greed and purchased advantage. O God, apply this charismatic emphasis to our daily living conditions. Against the weakening of the dollar and a red sea of deficit, rally thy children in positive action. For thy Son is Lord. Amen. The ministry of the supernatural is always to herald among mankind that Jesus of Nazareth has power to forgive sin, and the presence of heaven is among us, he who filleth all things. At this second, the seed of David, the victor of Calvary, has chosen to release a limb that has been hanging useless. You've been struggling with three limbs instead of perfectly two good legs and two good arms. So praise the Lord as you feel life and warmth returning to that void limb. Move that limb that has not obeyed command for so long. Jesus has written his signature on your flesh. Reveal this work of grace to the unsaved. and declare what great things Jesus has done for you. I'm his servant evangelist. Now this is the meeting. It's different because it is gathered. There's no joining. We do not promote celebrity. The only star among us is the bright and morning star. We're followers of Jesus. The Holy Spirit links us in this network of fellowship, and we have this in common, that we do not argue that the dead in Christ shall rise. We know that every cemetery on this planet will be disturbed. It's scheduled. And what happens instantly is too fast for Bible study. One shall be taken, the other left. Trust the Holy Spirit. The Spirit knows. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
You have